Welcome to Life in Full Expression with me, your host, Beth Wolf. In this show, we will explore, elevate, expand, and learn how to live your best life. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to live your life in full expression or create an expansive vision for your future? Get ready to be energized to fully express yourself. Discover your heart's clarity for dynamic direction and life decisions, and develop your unique capabilities so you are delivering your ever-increasing capacities into your world. Join me, Beth Wolf, and unleash the limitless capabilities of your soul, experiencing amazement, collaboration, fun, and purpose. Life in Full Expression starts now. Welcome, you amazing souls, to another episode of Life in Full Expression. Today, this episode is going to be about educating ourselves a bit more about the law of receiving. It's from a book written by Raymond Halliwell on successful principles. And why do you want to know more about the law of receiving? Great question. Well, a lot of times we can kink up our own hose and squeeze our sponge so tight that we cut off our flow of receiving, or we slow it down. So Raymond Halliwell gives us four tips, some really key practices that we get to know about and apply into our life. And the four of them are this, let's just give you up front. It's about really allowing yourself to give first. I'm gonna go in depth into each part of that, these key practices. The second one is giving wisely. Third, give systematically. And then fourth, give expectantly. Well, without further ado, let's dive into this right away and get this going. What does Raymond Halliwell mean about giving first? Now, if you're familiar with his book, he does take some wisdom scriptures from the Bible, and he uses this one. He says that he quotes the scripture, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure running over." Who wouldn't want that, to have good measure running over? Well, Raymond goes on to say that in a state of limited understanding, and this is what we want to do for ourselves today, and that I'm here serving you, is giving a more comprehensive understanding of this rather than a limited one. He says that we reason that we must go and get before we can give. And then we turn and walk in the same mental rut as before, by reasoning that we must give before we can get. But in our lack understanding, we continue to leave the getting, quote unquote, idea foremost in our thought, and we shut out the spirit of giving. So that's really what he's beginning to talk about. And there is a cultural domesticated thought that's put into our American culture that, you know, you got to get something before you can give something. And we're going to talk more about then it's just about giving money. So what is the fundamental law of life that Raymond is talking about right here? Well, it is giving. He says that it is the first law of creation. If you think about anything that you've ever created in your life, you first have given into it, whether it's a thought, an idea, energy. So the attitude of getting is the law of life in a congested state or a repressed action. So hear that again. If we have an attitude of getting before we can give, we're actually putting ourselves in a congested state and repressed action. So as long as you and I are getting, our mind is dominated by this getting mode, the mind is in a paralyzed condition, being limited in its actions in accord with the fundamental law of creation. You and I are co-creators, and so the fundamental law of life is giving. Here's an example that Raymond gives, and this book was written quite a few decades ago, so he's going to talk about the radio. So right now, just think about it in the terms of a podcast or YouTube that you're listening to, or some music that you're listening to, and you can apply it to that. So he says, the radio has aided greatly in explaining the process of the law of giving and receiving, our prayer and ask and blessing. So the principles involved are very similar, he says. In fact, they are the same, except that one is mechanical, the radio, and the other mental, we're mental. So when the operator projects a program, he stirs up a vibration in the air that goes forth to accomplish what it will. He has nothing more to do with it after it has been projected into the air, into the ether. It's going to carry those vibrations to any station that is capable of receiving and reproducing it. Now, there's a key element. Part of giving is also putting yourself in the position where you are capable of receiving and reproducing it. So keep those key elements in mind as you continue to listen on. So when you and I pray or ask, we in turn stir up a vibration with desires. So this is the mental rather than the mechanical. He says that this is received by a force determined according to the power, the purpose, and the sincerity of our ask. And often when we ask, we think that all is necessary is actually to keep praying or to keep asking. But Raymond says that with that kind of result, we never adjust ourselves to become receptive to receiving our answers. And so what happens is we complain when we do not get them promptly. So notice if you are constantly asking and you're sending out this mental vibration, I think of like, you know, if you hear a kid going, mom, 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 and they keep doing that, they're asking, 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 they're never in the mode to actually hear the answer of, well, what is it that you need? Because it's being broadcasted out. So let's ask this question for ourselves. What might you and I allow in our lives for us to be in receiver mode? And so part of that answer is, you've asked, now pause on the asking and put yourself into a receptive mode. So you can see that there's some action for us to take there in being in a receiver mode. And that might be with all our senses. Are we listening? Are we, you know, feeling intuitively? Well, he goes on to say, a dreamer or a wisher is one who is continually praying or asking, sending out his or her ideas, the desires, and is so busy dreaming that he or she gets all his or her enjoyment out of his or her dreams. And she doesn't know to realize that to release her dream and allow it to go forth to accomplish what it will in time return to her for good. So after you and I have actually formed a definite, clear outline of our desire, and then we release that thought Godward out into the universe, out into the ethers, just like a radio station, we let it go. And he says it's like throwing a ball out with no string attached to it, or so it's not going to bring it back to you. You've thrown it out there. And Raymond says that man's extremity is God's opportunity, or the universe's opportunity, or even what Wallace Wattles would say, it's original substance all around us that is the opportunity that can form into that. Says it's true for when man reaches his limit. Have you reached your limit? And sometimes I definitely have felt that way, and even kind of feeling that way right now, like I've just reached a limit. It says he helplessly stops his efforts. So that's another way to look at, all right, we're pausing the asking and now we're in receiver mode. And Raymond says that when he relaxes, or you and I, we relax from strain, the law has a chance to reply to our desires and things begin to change for both of us. And so have you not seen this work in trivial things, such as books or clothing or invitations or desire to see a certain friend? Possibly at some time when you sent out a thought or a desire and then forgot completely about it. The next thing you knew, you had that book presented to you, you received the invitation, or you were walking down the street and bumped right into that friend that you so meant to desire. And, you know, Kelly and I were over in Seattle just yesterday visiting our good friends, Kevin and Michael. And Kevin and I were talking about this very thing yesterday, that he was really thinking about someone, in a conversation with someone, and that person texted him right in that moment. It was super cool talking about with them and just seeing this in action. And so Raymond goes on to say, yet someone, when it comes to more important things, okay, it's not just you're thinking about someone and they text you. It's larger things. You and I might fail to release our desires and prayers and asks, and readily and anxiety and tension hold everything fast. Nothing worthwhile is accomplished. The mind is like a sponge when we get in holding things with anxiety and tension. And so what happens is, just imagine in your mind, you're holding a sponge in your head, in your hand, and you're squeezing it so hard. And imagine that that squeezing is your anxious thoughts. But not until you and I actually release the pressure from that sponge and allow the sponge to take its normal shape, then it can actually absorb the water and be receptive again. So you can see that worry, doubt, fear, hanging on to things with tension and anxiety, just keep that image in your head. We're squeezing that sponge, and it's not in an absorbent or receptive phase. So here's a question for us to ask ourselves: what might be some ways you and I can release the pressure and allow? And even Kelly and I were talking about that yesterday with my own self, because I feel that I'm experiencing a little bit of that sponge where I'm squeezing it too tight. And she even asked me, she goes, well, what would you share with your coaching clients? And, you know, it's difficult to see outside of your own frame. And the first thing that downloaded to me was, I would probably tell that person to go have some fun. And because if you're having fun and joy, you're going to be releasing the anxiety and tension. So that's what I have so far. If you have more, you know, send me some thoughts at hello@bethwolf.com and let me hear some of your ideas. So once we've expressed our needs through prayer or otherwise, some believe that it is all we have to do. That's it. We're done. But Raymond says, on the contrary, we're working with a lot that is, we're working with this law that is definite and active. And this is only in the beginning of our work. And so the principle of a life upon which this law is based, clearly written, he uses that scripture again, that give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's like you can't fit anything else in there. After you have given, it is given back to you in such abundance. Giving always precedes and predetermines the reception, whether you are giving your thought, your word, your service, or your deed. See, it's not just money. Some folks may consider this law as a two-way law. And I'm glad he talks about this, because he says that you might think that half the time you should be busy giving and the other half of the time you should be busy receiving. It's kind of a logical thing that our brain would dive into, right? Well, he says it is like the proposition of heat and cold. They are two sides of the same law. That is, if we concentrate upon cold and hope and pray to get heat, well, we are likely to freeze to death, right? We must do what we get to do, and what we must do is give all our thought and effort toward building a fire or seeking that which will create heat or warm or whatever you have asked for. So if you and I concentrate, and I wanted to break down that word concentrate, it means with center. You know, so you're really giving your thoughts into the center of what you have asked for. So if we concentrate upon receiving, like, I know I am a sponge and I am absorbing, I am in receiver mode, and not giving any thought or idea to desire to build upon, we in that like manner may perish. And so I love the illustration that he gives with that. So he says, the law, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And as you freely give, you freely receive. So unless we are free to extend or give out our desire, our good, the law will not have any pattern to work with. And we're going to get a little bit more into this pattern. But he says they cannot proceed to supply any need without a pattern to work with. That's where this comes down to, really, science, quantum physics of the universe. It cannot proceed to supply any need without a pattern. Many try to work the law backwards, Raymond says, and for that reason get little or no results. They say to themselves, well, after I get, then I'll give. And Raymond says that if you wish any good thing, you must give first, give some good to build upon it. And Raymond says that when we speak of giving, most people have a tendency to think first of giving their money, right? That might have been even where your thought went when I first started talking about this. And money, an object of human affections, so passionate that men and women might even slay and steal to gain its possession, is by nature, talking about money, is so obedient to our will that we can hold it gently in our hand and fold it fondly in your purse without feeling any resistance from it. So with all the selfish, you know, ideas which man attaches to it, to money, man has not changed its nature or its purpose. What does money get out of constantly giving itself into hands that so eagerly grasp it? And Raymond says nothing. Nothing beyond the joy of giving itself in the fulfillment of the mission. So man may do some terrible deed to obtain it. He may pay it for something detrimental to his progress. But in all these exchanges, man, not money, loses value. And we are noticing that in our world right now, that there is a lot of corporate greed going on. And it's an exchange, but what is happening is there's a losing of a value there. So just as the sun shines on the just and the unjust alike, so money passes through the deserving and perhaps the undeserving hand to accomplish its work. And its purpose is exchange without discrimination, leaving the latter to the mind that is using it. Money goes merrily on its way, losing nothing in self-value in giving itself. So when we give our best in some useful service, forgetful of self, concentrating on the joy of giving instead of concentrating on the returns, we find that our purpose and the purpose of money have blended, and we come together in righteousness and eternal good, that we're giving for the eternal good. So let's go for a short break. That was all about giving first. And when I come back after this break, we're going to talk about giving wisely. And I have learned a lot from this segment from Raymond Hollowell. So let's take a short break. I'll be right back after this message.
Living a life by design. It's the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose with host Esther Graham. Tune in every second and fourth Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Discover that what is possible is already in you. God designed a phenomenal life for you. At Living a Life by Design, Esther helps you ignite the energy behind your personal journey. For more information, visit fddwomen.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
If you deeply knew you were so much more than your history, current conditions, and circumstances, would you explore, elevate, and expand yourself? If yes, Beth Wolf is your guide. Beth helps you envision true possibilities, starting with your desires, truth, and values as we design your seven-dimensional life blueprint. Go to www.bethwolf.com to schedule your discovery session now.
A book that actually has healing power. Introducing you to Maximize Your Healing Power by Dr. Sharon Martin, available now for pre-order. This book takes you on an empowering journey that teaches you how to have control over your own health, bridging the divide between Western medicine and shamanic practices of energy healing. Pre-order today and get a free bundle of gifts from Dr. Sharon Martin and several of her partners. For more information, visit drsharonmartin.com.
Are you looking for a peaceful sanctuary that will relieve you from the stress and anxiety of your life? Deb Phelps, founder of Peaceful Wellness, provides a safe and accessible place for you to explore what services are best for you. Deb offers free meditation guidance, sound healing, private coaching sessions, and more. Start your journey towards peaceful wellness. Book a free discovery call at debphelps.com.
Welcome back, you guys, to Life in Full Expression. I get to be your host, Beth Wolf. Today, we're talking about four practices that you need to know in order to open up the flow of receiving for your life. And the first segment, if you missed it, was all about giving first. And now we're going to talk about giving wisely and giving systematically. And it's from Truth Principles that were written in a book by Raymond Hollywell. Fantastic. Wise things. So, all right, have you thought about this? Is there a right way or a wrong way to give? I definitely have gone through some trial and error in this area. So let's find out a little bit more about giving wisely. Raymond says there is a careless, impulsive giving, and there is a careful, scientific giving. So when we give to a person or a group of persons where we are retarding progress, that's a key point right there, we are wasting our substance. Where we give to one who doesn't put forth the effort to help himself or herself, we need not expect a good return. Nature does not support a parasite or a loafer, but she gives her energy to the ones who are struggling forward. I love that he put that in there, that, you know, they're just not flying forward, but they are struggling forward. They are putting forth effort. You see that they are navigating through life. He goes on to say that she lets the parasite and the loafer see that she will help if they will put forth the effort to help themselves. But with us, if you and I, maybe we support a loafer in what he is in, or she is in, and how can we expect any good returns from that? Raymond says, rather, the loafer becomes arrogant and demanding for more and more relief until we wonder where and when it will end. Have you experienced that, where you're giving to someone that feels a little bit like a parasite or a loafer, isn't putting forth effort, and they just keep wanting more and more and more? Raymond shares an interesting story in this chapter, and here it is. He says, a woman once gave her daughter, when she married, a home fully furnished and set the son-in-law in a good business. The business from year to year was always needing more funds to carry it over, and she continued giving her money to him until it was almost exhausted. And when she had gotten down to a small income and living in one room for herself, she wanted to know why she was not blessed for her generosity. Can you relate to that? Have you experienced this? She gave as she thought best, but paid in losses and bitter words. The son-in-law demanded more help until she had no more to give. Then she was unwelcome in their home and invited to leave. Well, her mistake was this. It was in her judgment. She was as much at fault as the dependent son, for she was part of the cause of his failure. Interesting, huh? Raymond directed her to stay away from the young couple and let them sink or swim by themselves. He was sure they would find themselves. He was very confident of that. Well, she followed his advice, and within a year, the young man had put his business on a paying basis, and for the first time, it was operating at a profit. The home life was restored to a normal state, and all were happier because their efforts were being directed into right channels. And guess what? The young man was proud of his efforts that enabled him to make good on his own merit. And a practical interpretation of the law is, when you see someone making an effort to help themselves, that is the time to assist him or her, but do not give of your substance to the one who will not help themselves or at least try. The latter type will not only misuse your gift, but will abuse you if and when you cease giving. Now, I have certainly experienced that myself as I've given to people, and you all of a sudden, you know, you're not seeing them move in any kind of forward momentum or any kind of struggle. And when I stopped, they certainly were not very happy with me. Another example that Raymond gives in here, it says, Jesus gave his substance always where it would do the most good. He fed the multitude because they were seeking good, not because they were begging for food. Now, you know, he's talking about when the 5,000 came to listen to him. This is one of the stories in the Bible, one of the allegories there. And they didn't come for food. They came to listen to him. So they weren't begging for that food. It was interesting, that story. You can read more of that in the Bible if you want to. Now, where do we find him giving as much as a thought to anyone except those who desire to improve and grow? So when you're investing your time, energy, and money and ideas, invest it into people that want to improve and want to grow. Jesus cautioned others about unwise giving. He said this, "Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and in turn and rend you." They basically come after you. He meant simply, do not give your substance to anyone who cannot appreciate it or improve with it. It is as foolish as giving a child. And this is, you know, I've seen this happen in our own community. It wasn't necessarily given it to him, but it would be like giving us a child a loaded gun and expecting him to realize the danger as an adult does. Sooner or later, the child, through lack of appreciation and awareness, will either hurt someone or get hurt, to the sorrow of all concerned. And so he says, you cannot build something on nothing and expect something in return. In our giving, there is no principle of good in some measure, no matter how small, to add to. Then you and I are casting our pearls away. You and I are wasting our substance. Now, next up, Raymond talks about giving systematically, and he does use the terminology of tithing in this chapter, but tithing is really just you and I giving in a systematic way into something that you really hold of great value. It might be giving systematically into nature, the parks, a political candidate. We have a backpack brigade where I live. We have Coffee Oasis where I live that helps youth have a step up in life. So keep that in mind of being systematic in your giving. So Raymond says that when you and I establish a methodical plan of giving, this creates a steady flow of reciprocal good to be received. When one's method of giving is sporadic or occasional, one's reception of good is irregular and uncertain. Scientists analyze it. They say that with tithing or giving actually gives a man a self-reliance, a confidence, which enables him to build up a positive mental attitude, which attracts success. Others say that a tither, a giver, already has considerable confidence to take the chance to spend his money, time, ideas, energy in that way. This makes him a positive type and attracts only positive and goodly conditions. Then there are those who take a spiritual view toward tithing and assume that God is their partner, if you want to do that, and they are paying only 1/10 of their receipts as his share. That's another perspective. Then too, some make the mistake in tithing when they give for selfish gain or when they make a bargain of it. And that's something that Raymond talks about in this book, that this is really about the spirit of giving. So he spends a little time in the chapter talking about this. He says, remember, it is not the money you give. It is the idea back of the giving that is so vital. If you give money and the idea is wholly just a bargaining, your mind is not free. Therefore, your results cannot be free and full of flowing. Divine, no matter what you may think about it, if one thinks at all, has the tendency to bring man into line with the law of giving in his results, will be in proportion to the honesty, integrity, sincerity, and the spirit of his or her gift. Raymond mentions a story about where Jesus praised and blessed the widow who gave her all, her mind, into the church coffers, but criticized the rich man offering his bags of gold. So here it is a little bit. Why do you suppose he took exception in this case to praise the lowly gift of the widow? He knew the law of giving was in action. It was the spirit of her gift that promoted his blessing. You know, in 2010, I went down to Haiti to help with medical relief after the earthquake. And I was in this field hospital of over 400 tents, and I had just the incredible privilege of helping these people rehabilitate from all kinds of orthopedic injuries. And I recall we were out in this field, and you know, there was probably 70 or 80 people that we were doing rehab with, beautiful Haitian people, and we sang a lot because they loved to dance. So that was one of the ways that we did physical therapy. And this one woman found out that I was sleeping on the ground in a tent, and she was sleeping on a cot, and she was adamant about giving me her cot. And she had nothing else. I mean, nothing but the clothes on her back. And it always reminded me in that moment that this woman was so endearing, because she was putting this law of receiving and this giving in action, because she gave everything. She's like, you can't be sleeping on the floor, on the ground. You have to have a cot. And that will forever mean so much to me. Well, Raymond goes on to say that here in America, he had a story about John D. Rockefeller. And I know that they're very wealthy right now, but let's just look at John D. Rockefeller. He grew up a very poor boy, and he applied this law early in his life. And when he started earning his money, he actually kept a record of all that he earned and all that he gave. And it's estimated that in his lifetime, he gave over $500 million. But after you and I give, that is not all we must do. Our next step is to prepare to, here it comes, prepare ourselves to receive the response or results of our giving, and to receive, as the law states, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And this is what is most interesting part, because our preparation shows our act of faith. Instead of rocking and waiting, we are actually preparing and working. This in turn, if we're doing this, we're preparing, it's going to enlarge our view. It's going to stimulate our interest. It's going to disperse doubt and fear. And it's going to energize our power of reception just by preparing to receive. So Raymond gives another great example out of the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah. And three kings came to Elijah and asked him to pray for them that they would be victorious in battle at that time, and that they might have really give a lot of supply to their soldiers and animals. They needed rain to come. They needed to nourish not only themselves, but the animals. So Elijah told them this. Now, mind you, they're in the middle of the desert. So Elijah told the kings to go back to their camps and prepare for tomorrow, prepare to receive the water. And so they were asked to dig ditches. Now, if you've ever been in the desert, you will know that it was most foolish idea that they would dig ditches in the sand and expect rain to fall. And with the king, what the king did is he did follow through, and he began to have everyone dig ditches, and the clouds gathered, the rain fell, and the ditches were filled. Now, whether you're believing this, actually literal, it's also an allegory of really what Raymond is putting forth here, is that we be prepared to receive. And so what happened is the men, the soldiers, and all the animals were fully nourished with water. They were satisfied, they were quenched, and they went into battle strengthened, and they were victorious. So whatever you are getting ready to move into, you could even look at this from the seven dimensions of life and full expression. Are you ready to receive physically, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, socially, environmentally? Are you getting ready to receive? Are you taking good care of yourself? Would be one way to look at it. So the key to the law then, the law of receiving, is we continually are drawing into life what we give and expect. So with that, we're going to take a short break here, and we're going to come back with the final part of this episode. And I want to share with you the fourth and final practice that Raymond gives in here, and that's about giving expectantly. So let's take a short break, and I'll be right back.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the Be Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
If you deeply knew you were so much more than your history, current conditions, and circumstances, would you explore, elevate, and expand yourself? If yes, Beth Wolf is your guide. Beth helps you envision true possibilities, starting with your desires, truth, and values as we design your seven-dimensional life blueprint. Go to www.bethwolf.com to schedule your discovery session now.
Have you ever had a painful family memory you are not sure how to heal? Tune in to Family Healing with Rose each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We are told we can't choose our family, but what if that family is not the one we would have wished for? Once a month, Dr. Pat and Rose engage in a discussion surrounding healing and family, showing you how to take true ownership and responsibility over your own energy. For more information, visit familyhealingwithrose.com.
Are you ready to take accountability for the impact that we have on the world? Of course you are. Tune in at a higher frequency with me, Trish Smith, multidimensional channeler, for an hour of nourishment on pure intuitive talk to unlock your way to high frequency living and healing for peace. The human experience is full of choices pulling us constantly. Pure intuitive talk serves as a reminder that we have the power to choose love over and over again and are able to laugh at the same time. For more information about me, visit pureintuitiveguide.com.
Are you struggling to find peace in your addiction recovery? Hi, I'm Tanya D., a spiritual life recovery coach and founder of The Peace We Crave. After getting and staying sober, I asked myself, now what? In my relentless pursuit of serenity, for the precious gift of sobriety, my Creating Calm and Recovery program was born. It's a 90-day personal spiritual journey that helps you remove blocks, get clarity, and experience sobriety on a whole new level. Please book your free discovery call today. Visit thepeacewecrave.com.
Well, welcome back. And as we're diving into the last of these four practices that you and I get to know in order to really open up the law of receiving. So here we go with the last one. And as we dive into the giving expectantly, I also want to give you guys a free gift. If you go to my website, www.bethwolf.com, there's a free gift for you that you can download all 11 of these Laws of Successful Living by Raymond Halliwell. I put them in a really great little infograph there for you. So go to bethwolf.com, download those life principles. I give a brief explanation of it. And if you want to do a deeper dive into those laws, I also have a deep dive transformational course that is about 6 months long. Go ahead and schedule a discovery session with me and we can see if that would really serve you. It's one of my favorite things to take people through of learning truth principles that can transform their lives. So without further ado, let's get into this give expectantly. And Raymond says that the key to the law then is, the law of receiving, is we are continually drawing into life what we give and expect. Now, whether we attract good or bad, it is governed by the same principle. You've probably made the remark, oh yes, it's just as I expected. And especially when some unpleasant condition or circumstance has shown up in your life, you've probably said that, oh yeah, I expected that to happen. Well, Raymond says that you and I have invited the condition just because you and I gave out the thought of expecting it. And you can also expect good to appear on the same principle. You can help it come to pass by the method of, guess what? Your preparation. So many failures in demonstrations are, and demonstrations is just another word that Raymond says that results are showing up, are because we do not force our expectations to keep a pace with our desires. Now I'm still working on this in my own life, so don't think that I'm an absolute master in it just because I'm a master life coach. I actually practice these principles as my life evolves at the next level, next level, next level. So Raymond goes on to say that very often we desire one thing and expect in our hearts another, which creates confusion. So Jesus, the master, said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So he's obviously talking about you've got one thought, but you expect another thing, and that is a house divided. When a mind is confused, there is no cooperation, nor is there a united force or to attract the strength it requires. positive mental radiations will drive away all clouds of doubt and fear with confident expectation that all things will work out all right. Now, it might be on a different time frame than you would like, but what Raymond is saying is for us to hold fast to that confident expectation that all things will work all right. And you and I operate a law that can and will put matters right. There's a power within you and I greater by far than any difficulty that you can ever meet. And it takes practice to keeping on with that thought and that feeling that there is no difficulty that you and I can ever meet, that the power will never fail to see us through it. So you may ask, can I desire things not ready for me to have? This is one of the questions that Raymond puts in there. He also says, can I ask too much of the law of receiving? Does the law withhold things from me which are not for my good? So he says this, true desire represents the urge of life, seeking it fuller expression. And I think as I read this book, 7 years ago, it was starting to download into me, oh, a life in full expression comes in. And he said that it kept alive by continuous expectation of the fulfillment. It brings to us ways and means for its manifestation. And the principle explains this, and I just kind of put them in dotted notes on my script here. It explains no desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear. No mind can be conscious of the need or of a desire unless the possibility of its fulfillment exists. The principle also says your prayer, your ask, your desire, and your inner urge are like a magnet. And the stronger they are, the stronger the power of the magnet and the greater its attraction. You cannot ask too much of the law, for it is unlimited and the supply is inexhaustible. And you can get only what you can conceive, what you can understand. You can get only the equivalent to what you give. And the law does not withhold any more than mathematics withholds its numbers. You may receive some things that appear not good, but yet good may come through them, like mistakes in mathematics. He says that whereas you make mistakes, the mistakes enable you by their correction to better know the law, to better know the formula, how to figure it out. I love, Marie Forleo talks about everything's figure outable. It's a great phrase that she has coined. So after you have had one or several corrections, you will never again repeat the same mistake. So in the way, the law has served you and served me well and has supplied us with a greater knowledge. So there's some of those points of the principles of that. Well, Raymond ends the chapter on the law of receiving with this scripture, the Lord loveth a truthful giver. And, if you've listened to me a little bit before, Neville Goddard talks about that the Lord is our beautiful, wonderful imagination, and that we ourselves are expressions of, the infinite spirit. So our beautiful, wonderful imagination loves a truthful giver. He goes on to say that the law serves a free and willing giver. Whatever you give, give it with a free and willing spirit. Now keep in mind, you are giving first, you are giving wisely, you are giving systematically, and you are giving expectantly. It takes all four of these practices. So you're giving where the person is actually in concert and contribution with your gift that you're giving. And in that, give it out with no obligation or dictations attached. Then it will come back to you unburdened with obligations or restrictions of any form. So you just picture that you're giving perhaps to someone that is struggling forward, and that you may not receive it back from them, but you may receive it from some other source because you gave it into the universe and the universe brings that back to you. Just, I think that's a good thing, because sometimes we think if we give it to someone that we expect the reciprocal from them, but Raymond's explaining this a little bit different. It really does create a freedom for you to not have an expectation on that person to give back exactly what you've been given, what you gave to them. So he goes on to say, he who gives much receives much, period. To give your best is to receive the best in ratio to the degree of your giving. The reason why so many people receive little is because they give out so little. They're poverty stricken because they refuse to give. Whatever the nature of your possessions, give and give abundantly. You are to give of your life, interest, energy, thought, ability, love, appreciation, whatever may be helpful. And in giving your life, thought, and love, in doing gladly and well, whatever you may be called upon to do, you express your best. And the more you give, the more you receive. And this doesn't mean that you are to give to the selfish and thoughtless. He circles this back for us. But to so order that your life is to make a full and proper use of your energies, faculties, and talents in useful giving. So if today your abilities might be small and your power you may feel insignificant, Raymond is suggesting to us, begin now to make a more thorough use of them and they will grow. And Raymond uses another example, recalling the story of the master and his servants to whom he gave each a talent. And some he gave 2 talents, and others he gave 3 and even more talents, and from whom he expected a harvest according to their respective endowments. So that goes back to being give wisely. Well, the story goes on, there was greater joy in heaven over him who had put 1 talent and used it well than over him who had many talents but failed to employ them in any kind of useful service. Have you seen that before? People that are very talented or have multiple talents and they don't even use them. That's what is being talked about here. Hence, the servant with 1 talent took the higher place. In other words, the individual who makes full use of what he or she has shall be blessed with more and more. 4, again, he uses this wise scripture, in what measure we met, it shall be measured unto thee again. That is the law of increase. That is the secret of the law of receiving. I'll say that again. The path of increase, that is the secret of the law of receiving. So whatever you desire in the way of health, success, happiness, riches, or power, just encouraging you to start toward it, start it on its way by these things that I've given you today. The law does work. And remember, Raymond talked about that it is a scientific law, and the results are assured because a natural principle is involved. And you may proceed without doubt, fear, to desire, and to expect all the good you can realize, use, and enjoy. When the mind of man, the mind of us, becomes unselfish to the point of yielding to the law, man has been born anew. For his attitude toward the law, himself, herself, and our fellow men and mankind has changed, and our affairs take on the character of a newness of thought. So I invite you to practice these keys to the law of receiving, that you are giving first, And that is also, I want to put in there that giving health to yourself first, because if you're giving in your physical dimension, your intellectual and your emotional dimension, that giving first can be taking really good care of yourself, because then you have more that you can give out to the people because you are taking such good care of yourself. Again, I want to remind you, you can go to my website, BethWolf.com, receive a free gift from me. Just go ahead, it downloads right to you. It's free of the 11 success principles that Raymond Hollowell talks about in his book. And again, I invite us in this life in full expression to be asking powerful questions, because they will bring powerful answers. All right, have a great week, you guys. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and begin to practice these keys. I'll see you next time on Life in Full Expression. Thanks for tuning in to Life in Full Expression with me, Beth Wolf. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be your most elevated self and pursue a path of fulfillment, clarity, expansion, fun, and living your best life. If you would like to discover the seven dimensions of your life blueprint of expression, to fully express yourself, reveal your heart's clarity for dynamic direction, and activate your unique capability, visit BethWolf.com. That's Beth, W-O-L-F-E.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.